This Easter story, it is the foundation of our faith. It's everything. It's everything that we believe. It's where our hope resides. It's where our faith is founded and grounded. And while Easter ends in resurrection, it ends in beautiful celebration, and we will get there next Sunday for sure. Easter is also full of struggle and pain. There is blood in the foundation. This is Holy Week. I want to make sure that you don't miss the spelling. Some of you grammar experts are already wondering, well, did they mess that up? No. It's intentional. Holy Week. How in the world could my weakness ever be holy? But the reality is, Easter exposes weakness. Some of the struggle was highlighted on purpose. Last Sunday we were in John 14, and if ever you want to catch up, you can go to YouTube, and all of our services are archived there, and you can listen and subscribe and comment and all of that right there, and catch up if you miss a Sunday. But we talked about the disciples. They were struggling in their faith. Jesus was saying, hey guys, I'm going to prepare a place and you know where I'm going. And Thomas said, no, Lord, I don't have any idea where you're going. I don't even know what you're talking about. And then he begins to tell him, hey, I if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip said, you got me so confused. I don't know what's going on. Because Easter, the season, it exposed a question in their faith. It exposed a weakness in their belief. And so the season, it highlights, and I believe it highlights this on purpose. I believe the scriptures make sure that we see these stories because they do not want us to miss. They don't want us to feel left out, because many of us feel these feelings and we go through these emotions and we feel this weakness and we sense this struggle. And the enemy will use that moment to tell us that we are the only ones. You're the only one that's ever questioned. You're the only one that's ever struggled in your faith. You're the only one that's ever wrestled to worship in the midst of a crisis, and before you know it, you're just kind of imploding on yourself, and the enemy starts to win because you decide to stay home, and the enemy starts to win because you pull back from people who are trying to encourage you and trying to lift you, and the enemy starts to win because we close our Bibles and stop reading the word of the Lord. But I believe that we are so encouraged this Easter season. I believe that there is an infusement. There is a rebuilding of our faith that says, hey, I'm not going to run from my weakness. I'm going to lean into my weakness, and I am going to stand on my weakness until I find the strength that I need. So this is Palm Sunday, and it's one of my favorite to preach all year long. I don't know why. I've always loved preaching Palm Sunday. I want to have a little fun today, if you'll allow me, and just make myself at home. I'm going to talk to you today about donkeys. Can I have a little fun today and just the triumphal entry story is fascinating to me. Let me read John chapter 12 if you want to meet me there. If you don't have a Bible or your word on a device, you can follow along on the screen. John 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, verse 16, don't miss this. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Once again, I am so thankful for the disciples. We have made superheroes out of all of them, but they're standing over there scratching their heads saying, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what is happening. This does not make sense to me. I am not sure. Lord, what are you doing on a donkey? We've been here for, you know, just more than 3 years, Lord, and we've learned a little bit about you. We're learning more and more each day about who you are. A donkey? Why are you on a donkey? Are there no thoroughbreds available? Are there no Clydesdale somewhere? Maybe a chariot? We know you are king. We know you are Messiah. Is there any way you could get in the back of a chariot and a team of horses pull you into Jerusalem? Why are you on a donkey? We do not understand this. Disciples, I need you to know something. You are the donkey. Jesus is going to introduce himself while riding on the back of a lowly beast. Not a thoroughbred, not a Clydesdale, not a racehorse, a donkey. The laughingstock, the jackass, the weak one. John captures their lack of understanding, but Matthew and Mark contribute details to the event that are powerful. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. I'm sending you on purpose. I'm sending you with a purpose. I'm sending you with instruction and with detail. He said, go to the village ahead of you. I know exactly where who and what I need is. I know where they're tied up. I know where they're living. I know exactly what is going on in their life. And when you get to this village ahead of you, at once you will find a donkey tied there. It's a type of you and I, because when Jesus found us, we were tied up in something. When Jesus found us, we were intertwined in something. We were caught in something. We couldn't go where we wanted, couldn't do what we wanted. We were tied up. You're going to find this donkey tied up. Untie them and bring them to me. Untangle them from their mess. Untangle them from their circumstance. Untie them from their situation. I believe the Lord came to a certain place today. He came to a certain church today. In fact, he may have started a couple of days ago saying, you know what? You need to clear the schedule and get to the church Covington, because I'm sending a word that is going to unravel you. I'm sending a word that is going to untie you. I'm sending a word that is going to untangle you from the mess that you have been living in. See, that doesn't make sense to save folk, because you already forgot what it was like to be tied up. But there's somebody in this room today that feels like you can't get anywhere. You're caught up in some fence. You're caught up in some rut. You're tied up in some ditch somewhere, and you can't get loose. And the Lord sent a word on Sunday morning, Palm Sunday morning, to say, I've got a plan for your life. I'm going to untie you so that I can use you for my glory. Look at somebody and tell them, hello, my name is Jack. You'll catch that in a minute. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone, verse 3, Matthew 21, if anyone says anything, because somebody always got something to say. If anybody sticks their nose in your business, if anybody says anything, you just tell them that the Lord needs them. If anybody wonders why you leaving the club, or just tell them the Lord called me into his prayer. If anybody asks you why, if anybody wonders what happened, if you go back to work tomorrow and they say, you look different, you're acting different, you're talking different, you're not laughing at my, just tell them the Lord needed me. It was time for me to submit my life. It was time for me to commit my life. It was time for me to give my life over to the Lord. I have been untied. If anybody says anything, just tell them the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. This prophecy was 1,700 years before Jesus. The prophecy was, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. You see, this Easter, I need you to see that Jesus uses weakness on purpose. This is Holy Week. Jesus came riding on weakness. He came to us on the back of weakness. Jesus sat on the back of an underdog. He chose to enter with the laughingstock of the community. He came riding on weakness. You remember Paul from last Sunday, and if you missed it, I want to read this verse again because this is powerful to me. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, he said, my power, Jesus speaking, my power is made perfect in weakness. And as soon as Paul hears that Jesus' power is made perfect in Paul's weakness, Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. In other words, I'm not trying to dress up my weakness. I'm not trying to put lipstick on my weakness. I'm honest. I'm up front. I'm right here. Hey, I'm not perfect. I've got struggles. I've got issues. I've got challenges in my life. But hear me, there's something about the issue, something about the challenge, something about the struggle that keeps me running back to an altar. And I've decided and determined the altar is where my life needs to be. So if it's a weakness that keeps me close, then I'll just boast in the weakness and thank God for the weakness, because his power is resting on me. He could have arrived on a thoroughbred. He created them. Jesus said, I could have arrived on a Clydesdale. I gave it its strength, but my power is made perfect in weakness. And what I want to do, I want to work through your weakness. I hope you're starting to see it. I'm honestly praying that the enemy has beat you up for the last time, because Paul said it, when I am weak, then I am strong. No, I'm not boasting in my addiction. I'm getting free, but my struggle is keeping me on the altar, and I need more altar. My financial situation frustrates me, but it keeps me worshiping and reminding God how much I trust him. I don't feel like a thoroughbred, nor do I stand as tall as a Clydesdale, but Jesus set on my life. The Bible said they put cloaks and he set on that beast. I'm praying the Lord will set heavy on someone today. That someone leaving today feels just a little extra weight. What is it? That's just the presence of the Lord that's set down on your shoulders. What's he doing? He's going to the car with you. He's going to lunch with you. He's going back home with you. He's still going to be there when you get out of bed in the morning and start putting the uniform on to go to another 40-hour work week. Lord, come with me. Set heavy in my life. I want to feel you while I'm working. I want to feel you while I'm schooling. I want to feel you, Lord, while I'm mowing grass. I want to feel you, Lord, while I'm getting groceries. I want you to sit heavy in my life. Psalm 22 and 3, but you, Lord, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. The word enthroned means to be seated. Seated because he has a place in my life. Is it starting to make sense, disciples? I know you didn't understand it, but now can you feel him moving and working in your life? Aren't you glad they said, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. Lord, I'm going to worship you until you pull up a chair in my life. I'm going to praise you until you lean back in my life. I want you to get comfortable in my life. Lord, you are at home. You are at home in my praises, in my worship. He's riding on weakness, folks. He's riding on, and I'm soon to take my seat today, but I need to tell you just a couple of facts about donkeys. I don't know if you know this. I didn't know all of this about donkeys, but I'm going to tell you just a few things that are pretty amazing about donkeys. Number one, they have incredible memories. Incredible memories. I was surprised to learn that they can recognize areas, places where they've pastured or lived, farm, whatever it may be. They can recognize areas and other donkeys that they were with up to 25 years later after being in that place or seeing that other donkey. Incredible memories. I love Psalm 103 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because if you're going to be a good donkey, you got to have a good memory. You got to remember how good God has been to you. See, the enemy's trying to get you to forget all of that and to wipe all of that from your memory and no longer recognize, wait a minute, the Lord brought me through this, that, and the other. Why would this challenge, why would this present circumstance be any different? It's not any different. It may look different, but what God already brought you through is testimony, proof that he can bring you through this as well. The enemy just wants you to forget what he's already done. But I remember how good God has been. And I stand on how good God was, knowing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, all of a sudden I remember. That's why I'm a good donkey. I got a good memory. Got a good memory. I remember how great God is. Number two, donkeys are social and emotional. Donkeys form strong bonds with other donkeys. They become depressed if a bonded companion dies or is taken away. That's what makes this house so special. That's what makes our church so special. It's the bond that we have with one another. Paul said in Romans 12 and 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Why? Because we're a bunch of donkeys who are social and emotional. We like to party together and we like to pray together. We sometimes struggle our way through a thing and then we celebrate how God works it out in our lives. Listen, if you're in a weeping season in your life, you're not weeping alone. There's somebody that's got a burden. There's somebody standing shoulder to shoulder, looking you eye to eye, or kneeling beside you, knee to say, you're not going to weep by yourself. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. If you're struggling, I'm struggling. But listen, if we ever make it to the mountain, you better know you're not going to worship by yourself either. If you're running, I'm running. If you're dancing, I'm dancing. If you're praising, I'm praising. Why? Because we donkeys are social and emotional. Never been so excited to be compared to a donkey. Number three, donkeys are great listeners. Great listeners. Their large ears help with cooling, but also provide excellent hearing. It's amazing to me. Donkeys can hear another donkey calling them from 60 miles away. It's amazing. Mark 4 and 9, then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. I hear something happening. James 1 and 9, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Donkeys are great listeners. If we're going to be successful in this spiritual journey, we're going to have to get our ears up and antennas up and say, hey, what is God saying in this hour? What is God doing? What is he speaking to us from his word? What is he calling us to do? What is he asking of our donkeys? Are great listeners. Number four, donkeys are strong for their size. They're strong for their size. Donkeys can carry up to 30% of their body weight and can pull even more. I've learned as a donkey that my serve makes a difference. I've learned that I'm not weak on talent. I am high on passion. It's no wonder why Jesus chose a donkey to introduce himself to the world by. It's no wonder that he came riding in on a donkey, because these animals, I know you thought it was the thoroughbred that had all the strength. I know you saw that tall Clydesdale and thought, man, that's the most powerful. But this donkey can do more than you think it can do. They got some resolve down inside of them. I don't know if it's being the underdog, the underhorse. I don't know what it is, but if they're just made fun of, everybody's laughing at them, everybody's always making fun and cartoon. I don't know if they got a chip on their shoulder and feel like they have something to prove, but I found out that's not always bad. Don't sit over in the corner and sulk and say, well, if I'd have been born like this, if I'd have been born in a thoroughbred house, if I'd have been born to Clydesdale parents, then maybe I'd have a chance in my life. No, you got some strength inside of you that people cannot see. You got an ability to pull some things things and to work through some things and to fight your way through some things. You may feel like you're small in spiritual stature, but you're stronger than you've ever believed. You're stronger than you realize. If you just make up in your mind, I'm going to get this done today. I'm going to see breakthrough in my life. I'm going to see God work and move and heal and help. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Donkeys are strong for their size. Number five, there is a variety of breeds. Ooh, I feel my help. There are more than 180 recognized donkey breeds around the world. 180, did you know that? I just thought they were all donkeys. 180 different breeds. Wrote that into my notes after learning that fact. Left my office, came down this hall just to make sure I hadn't forgotten, make sure I'd read it right. Came around this corner right outside the cafe where we got the mission statement of the church, and it says, we are the church, diverse. Because we are a bunch of different breeds of donkey. We are multiple races of donkeys. Somehow we all gather in this stable. Somehow we all gather in this barn and we work together and we worship together and we serve together and we lift hands in worship and we all magnify the Lord with me. And the media keeps saying we have to hate one another, but we refuse to do what the media tells us to do. We just keep walking arm in arm because it doesn't matter if we don't look exactly alike. It doesn't matter if we don't come from the same side of the tracks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we were raised. We just know that God has brought us for such a time as this, and we are glad to be in the same room with one another. Find somebody that doesn't look like you and just smile at them real big. Hey, donkey. Revelation 7 and 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. The color of their skin did not matter. The color of their robe is what distinguished them. The texture of their hair, where they had come from, none of that mattered. What mattered is that they had on that white robe of forgiveness and grace and mercy and salvation. I don't care what you look like. I know if you cut you and I cut me, we're gonna bleed the same color. That's why you and I can worship in the same room and serve in the same house, because there is a variety. Variety of breeds in this family. Number six, I'm coming to a close. Number six, donkeys are not stubborn, they're just cautious. Not stubborn, donkeys get a bad rap. They get a bad rap for being stubborn, but they're actually very intelligent. They will refuse to do something if they sense danger. Aware of their surroundings. 2 Corinthians 2 and 1, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. No. Not ignorant. No. On this Palm Sunday, I am well aware that the devil is busy. I am well aware that the enemy has schemes and plans and ideas for my life. But I refuse to give in to that. I refuse to play into that. I refuse to even be a party of what he's trying to devise in my life. No. I am well aware. And I know God's plan for my life is greater. And so I choose to follow him. Not stubborn, just curious. Here's the final unique fact about donkeys. They have a unique sound. Their signature sound is called a bray. Anybody know how to do a bray? Thank you. They have a unique sound. It's quite loud, up to 96 decibels. Almost scared to compare it, but that's probably about the decibels we generally run on a Sunday during worship. The one y'all are saying, that's so loud. That's how loud the sound of worship in this room, music and all, singing, that's how loud a single donkey can be. Heard for up to 60 miles. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a unique sound. Psalm 51, 15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Psalm 151 and 6, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's no wonder why he chose a donkey to ride in on. Because we have a sound. We have a sound. It's the hallelujah that we raise is louder. It's louder than unbelief. It's louder than the struggle that we face. It's louder than the difficulty. Sometimes I know when you're underneath the stress and when you're overwhelmed, it's so easy to get quiet and mealy-mouthed. It's so easy to get so sad and overwhelmed by the pain in your life that your worship becomes a whisper. But I challenge you today, you need to get loud. You need to get loud. You need to open up your mouth to say, Lord, I'm gonna worship you louder than worry. I'm gonna praise you louder than pain. I'm gonna magnify you louder than mess. I'm gonna give thanks to you. Thanksgiving is gonna be louder than ungratefulness. I am going to lift my voice. That's what he chose to ride in on. Some laughed, some mocked, some made fun. But Jesus said, eventually you'll get it. Eventually you'll get it. Because this donkey's got a sound. It's no wonder that Jesus chose to ride on a donkey, you and me. And you know what? He's still choosing us. The struggling, the underdog, those with issues, people with pain. He's riding weakness. He's riding weakness. He's riding me. He's riding me. Just stand with me across the room today. Don't be dismissed just yet. Just hold what you got. I feel the Lord in this room, and I feel like he wants to help someone in this room. He wants to move. He wants to heal. He wants to help. Wants to shower down grace and blessing over someone's life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know what you may be facing today. I don't know what may be swirling in your life, what may be happening in your world. I just know that God is good, and I know that He does not want us to struggle alone. The Bible said that He is near the brokenhearted. He comes close to those who have contrite spirit, those who have a wounded, a hurting spirit. He comes close. Lord, what I need you to do is come close to where we are right now, to meet us in this mess, to see us, Lord, in this struggle.